It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, in the studio via Skype with us again this morning. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Lightning Thursday to you.
Good morning. Happy Lightning Thursday to you as well. Glad to be back on with the community on Lightning Thursday.
Yes, sir. The Lightning is on the streets. It's in the mailboxes. And this morning, as every Thursday, it is on the radio. So what do you say we go ahead and get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning? This is something we've touched on before, but you've gone a little deeper into it, Bill, because they're doing some more, and it's the main story right here. In rare COVID upside, empty schools allow contractors to accelerate projects.
Yeah, exactly right. You're right. I think we did mention this a week or two ago when we had a I think it was kind of a shout out in a good job needs work. We mentioned that the contractor, the wrecking company, D.H. Griffin, had managed to move ahead at that time, had started demolishing and removing the old 1937, I think it is, historic gym there at Hendersonville High School. Well, that's completely gone now.
Yeah.
And is this was a part of the report in a long, almost four-hour school board meeting that the Lightning covered on Monday afternoon. And Associate School Superintendent, in his usual monthly construction report, had, as you said there, rare good news in a time when most of the news is not very good when it comes to the coronavirus. But the good news that they've been able to move ahead on a bunch of stuff, not just removing the gym, a bunch of stuff on the $60 million new construction renovation project at Hendersonville High School, including starting to work on the new classroom building. I don't think that was scheduled to start. This gym removal would not have started until after graduation. We'll talk about graduation virtually or otherwise in a minute or two.
Yeah.
Moving, and they're going to be able to put the scaffolding up all around the Stillwell building to start repointing the brick and mortar. That's a way to repair old brick. That brick dates to that structure dates to the mid 1920s. So it's time to repoint the brick. Repoint the mortar and the brick, apparently. And the other thing that's really helped them a lot is with the Flat Rock and Rugby middle schools. There's a major kind of almost an emergency project that the county commissioners approved to completely replace the HVAC systems at both of those middle schools, those heating and air conditioning systems, ductwork, the air handlers, apparently the whole thing was all on its last legs and badly needed to be done and was scheduled to be done. I think they were trying to move ahead with it, even with the children there, and they were talking about how they would have had to clear classrooms out at night and on weekends and then put them back together over and over and over again to get that work done because they were moving ahead on it. And now it's so much easier just to go ahead and tear everything up, replace it, and then put the school back together, and the children at some point will be back at school.
Yeah, exactly. At some point with a new air conditioning unit. So good. Interesting how again, just like you said, a rare COVID upside for construction purposes for the school. But let's stay on the school and the situation we've got regarding COVID-19. And of course, you've got this story on page 2 and page 3. Graduation certainly can't be, high school graduation certainly can't be the typical graduation that one expects when they're a senior in high school. Henderson County Public Schools is doing all they can to try to make it special for them. And we've got a senior from East High that's asking the school board to save graduation. Tell us that story, Bill.
Yeah, this is another story. This is back on the liability, on the unfun. The whole coronavirus lockdown and crisis, that is no assemblies, no graduations, no no awards, no athletic banquets, and so forth. That they're trying to have a lot of these things virtually by Zoom and otherwise. But this has been a topic on Monday night at the last week at the Board of Commissioners, and again at that school board meeting where they were talking about. The county commissioners talked about this letter from Lauren Wilkie, a senior at East Henderson High School. It's a long letter to both the county commissioners and to the school board about trying to have. She wants an in-person graduation either to be postponed. She says some colleges, including UNCA. Have postponed graduations. She suggests that. Then at that school board meeting, I think it was about three or four parents, moms, I think they were of high school seniors, were also, they had sent email, they had emailed letters asking the same thing, suggesting some different options, including having using the outdoor football stadiums, using both the home and away stand so everybody could be 6 feet apart, limiting tickets to two per graduate, having parking lot graduations. And when you get to the idea of a parking lot graduation with the children or the parents in cars watching the children graduate, that's closer to what the school superintendent, Bo Caldwell, and associate school superintendent and the rest of the leadership of the schools do have planned. And that plan is this drive-up. They don't want to call it drive-through, but I guess it's a drive-up, at least, graduation, where the senior gets out of a car, crosses, walks across some kind of stage, and has been set up for them at the school entrance in most cases. I think we talked last week about this at Hendersonville High School. I think is likely to be a loop around the track. So that's the plan now. We've got, you mentioned on the facing page, on page three, we have a long interview with Bo Caldwell and John Bryant, the associate superintendent, about how saddened they are. They said they love graduation. They look forward to it all year. They love to see the kids together. They love to see the parents and the teachers celebrating the children. But they know that's very, very unlikely to be permitted on June 5. So the plan now is to have that in person, as you might say, one at a time, in person graduation at all six of the high schools on June 5. I think it's from read the story 2 to 5 or 2 to 6, something like that. There'd be plenty of time for all the graduates to drive up and get their diploma and possibly other awards. There's going to be virtual Education Hall of Fame. There's also be virtual
tonight, yeah.
Henderson County Teacher of the Year and all of those things as well.
Right. The virtual Hall of Fame celebration is tonight at 7 o'clock. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And the issue with this too, I certainly understand the students wanting to, quote, save graduation, unquote. But, as of right now, according to the governor, we're limited to groups of 10 or less. Even by June 5, that's going to be expanded somewhat, but we don't know what that number is going to be.
Yeah, but I think somewhere it may say 50, but it's nowhere near.
Right.
As we say in the story, Bo Caldwell describes what would this look like. What would this look like at, let's say it's West Henderson High School, where Bo's alma mater, 300 students, two parents each, plus faculty and staff, you're talking 1,000.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to make a pretty sizable bet that the Henderson County School System is not going to get permission to have a gathering of 1,000 people a little more than 2 weeks from now.
Well, and Bill, just like you guys, we're doing our best to try to make it as best as possible for our graduating class of 2020. We start next week airing our salute to seniors as we announce the names of all of our graduating seniors over the next few weeks. And you guys are going to be doing the same type of thing upcoming in a lightning, correct?
That's right. That's a good opportunity to celebrate seniors by having every single one of their pictures. Every single graduate's going to be in that special Hendersonville Lightning issue on June 3rd, I think it is. So that comes out a couple days before graduation. It will be available, actually, at that graduation. That's when the seniors will get their copy of it, if they don't get one before that date. It's going to be on high-quality, bright white, 35-pound newsprint, so it's more durable. It's going to be a real keepsake. And people can also honor their get in touch with Matt Manini, and they can honor their graduate with an advertisement with a picture that will be in that issue as well.
Fantastic. Let's stay on the subject of things being a little different right now, and you've got but let's tie it into politics. You know, we've got an election coming up here pretty soon, a runoff election. And Madison Cawthorn, one of the folks running in this runoff, had an event basically downtown this past weekend, and you've got the story on that.
Yeah, this story has gotten a lot of readership.
I bet.
A lot of hits, and a lot of comment, both on HendersonvilleLightning.com and on our Facebook page, where Madison Cawthorn, he is one of the two candidates running against Linda Bennett in that June 23 runoff. He's from Hendersonville. A lot of people know Madison. He had what seemed like a good idea of a pro downtown, pro restaurant idea to promote the downtown by having the Great American Tailgate Party. He had it. He called it, and it was quite the event. As we say, billed as a nonpartisan event to support struggling downtown restaurants, the Great American Tailgate Party tilted pro-Republican and anti-social distancing. So there was a lot of folks that turned out. There was a lot of support for the restaurants, people getting takeout orders, but most of them, hardly any of them wore masks, and they weren't generally even observing the recommended 6-foot social distancing. So there you have it. It was a good idea, and I don't think the candidate could necessarily enforce the social distancing himself, but there it was. It was a nice day out there, and people did buy some meals from the restaurant, so that was a good thing.
Well, good. And of course, staying on this subject of as we move on to another page here, and stay in the politics realm, and that is legislators calling on Governor Cooper to allow summer camps. Talk about that story, Bill. That's going to be a real interesting thing this summer.
Yeah, well, and the time is really slipping by to be able to do that at all. When they wrote this letter, they said a decision was needed. I'm pretty sure they told the governor when they wrote this letter, middle of last week or so, that a decision was needed by May. It was over the weekend. I think it was Saturday, in order to open the camps on June 22nd. There's been no response that I know of from the governor, either yay or nay. Again, I think there's no way that the governor and his chief medical advisor, the Health and Human Services Secretary, Dr. Mandy Cohen, I just don't see them. I mean, it's possible camps could open by June 22nd, but he's not going to. I don't think he's going to make a decision in the next few days. But this is a fairly long letter. It makes a lot of good. It makes a lot of good points about children being so cooped up. School closures and social distancing, they say, have left many children confined at home. Many of those children have started counting down the days until they can attend summer camp in North Carolina because of the uncertainty and social distancing caused by the pandemic. We believe they will need the unrestricted and emotionally positive experience camp provides more than ever. So keep in mind, when they say open summer camp, they are talking about allowing at least 80% capacity, access to lake activities, open air assemblies, and sleeping accommodations, quote, with 6 feet between heads. This is a it's a congregate living kind of facility that I don't know. I wouldn't, if I was a summer camp, I don't know how optimistic I would be that a decision is going to come, particularly that a decision would come so soon that they can notify families that camp is starting on June 22nd. We'll just have to wait and see.
And that's going to be, if camps aren't allowed, that is going to be, or even late or whatever, a huge economic impact on Henderson County, Western North Carolina, but and especially Henderson County.
Yeah, of course. Yet another one. It's tens of millions of dollars, and this the letter was also signed by. In addition, it was signed by Chuck McGrady and Chuck Edwards, our House member and state senator here, and by State Senator Jim Davis and State Representative Kevin Corbin, both of Franklin. So that gives you an idea of the, you know, there are summer camps. I think we have the heaviest concentration here in Henderson, Transylvania counties in the whole state in terms of summer camps. But they are spread out all over Western North Carolina, all over the mountains.
That's going to be an interesting story to follow, and I'm sure the Lightning is going to stay on it. You're listening to Hendersonville Lightning, Lightning Radio here on the Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. We'll be back in just a bit after these messages.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of mobile home supplies. Whether you need doors, windows, plumbing, or skirting, Lewis Williams & Sons has anything you need for your mobile home. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 till noon. Lewis Williams & Sons, 692-8216 or online at lewiswilliams.com.
This is Caroline from WAG, a unique pet boutique on Main Street in historic downtown Hendersonville. WAG is open for curbside pickup or free delivery. Call us at 697-7799 to place your order today. We have a lot of cool deals going on right now, so be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for helping us to celebrate 10 years in business, serving Hendersonville and the surrounding communities, supporting positive relationships between pets and their people. WAG, a unique pet boutique, 828-697-7799.
The Barefoot in Public Art Bear Reveal is going virtual. Be the first to see this year's masterpieces while safe at home. Just tune into Downtown Hendersonville's Facebook page at facebook.com/downtownhendersonville on Friday, May 15th at 6 p.m. to watch the live broadcast with 20 brand new creations of Hendersonville's lovable, huggable public art. This year's bears are sure to put a smile on your face. For more information, visit downtownhendersonville.org.
The Small Business Center at Blue Ridge Community College wants you to know that they are committed to continuing to support local businesses during this unprecedented time. They will be offering a series of free online events to help navigate businesses through these uncharted waters. Please visit the Blue Ridge Community College Small Business Center Facebook page to find out more and to register for these free online events. For more COVID-19 resources for small businesses, please visit their website at blueridge.edu/sbc/COVID-19.
And we are back with Lightning Radio here on the Q. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, we were mentioning the runoff election coming up on, I believe, June the 23rd, and you got a story here under continuing under Four Seasons Politics about the state announcing safety measures for this runoff election.
Yes, and they are many, and they are pretty significant precautions they will take to protect in-person voters and poll workers during that election on that election day when polls will be open from 6:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night, including masks will be available for all poll workers and voters who do not bring their own single-use pens for voters to mark their ballots. So I'm going to go through thousands upon thousands of pens that will be used one time and thrown away. Single-use cotton swabs for voters using touchscreen voting machines. Enforced social distance for all poll workers and voters, including markings or barriers to prevent voters in line from standing too close together. Hand sanitizer for everyone. Face shields and gloves for poll workers. Protective barriers between poll workers and voters at check-in tables. Special sanitation kits at each to ensure poll worker protection and clean the tables and voting machines and voting booths throughout the voting all day long.
Interesting.
So that's going to be unusual. You can imagine now it's a runoff, which has a historically meager turnout, often under 10%. But even so, you can imagine if it gets to be a pretty active precinct, you know, if there were how long that line is going to extend at 6 feet apart, if even a few dozen people show up. I hope for good weather because they'll be outside, you know, they'll be outside in a line.
Yeah, and of course, this is the runoff for the Republican seat for the Mark Meadows, the position that Mark Meadows is leaving.
The only runoff in the state of North Carolina, and that is the one with Madison Cawthorn, who we just mentioned having the downtown event, and yeah. Republican Republican Linda Bennett, Maggie Valley Realtor, who first came to this area, Mark, to work at Mother Earth magazine back in 1980.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
She lived in Hendersonville before she lived in Maggie Valley.
How about that? I didn't realize that. Interesting. Hey, let's talk about what downtown Hendersonville is looking at doing, and as with anything, people on both sides of it. But Eat Street, city talking about closing Main Street on Saturdays to allow the restaurant some expanded outdoor dining.
Yeah, this was really interesting and exciting, and it kind of livened up what was it otherwise the usual DBI, as we say, dull but important city budget retreat last Friday morning when they, toward the end, they called on Lou Holloway, the downtown development coordinator, to present, Lou, what's up with you and downtown and reopening? And he wrote out this idea that they've been talking about for quite some number of days, at least,
yeah.
To close Main Street from, and on weekends, I mean Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, to close Main Street, let the restaurants pull their tables out and have them even further apart, probably than they have when they had the usual sidewalk dining, further apart, obviously, than they can do inside, and the shops as well. Take some, whether it's clothing racks or other items that they can take outside in nice weather to make the shoppers feel more comfortable, feel like they can stay 6 feet apart or more. So it looks like this is going to come up in a special called City Council meeting next week. I think they'll probably green light this so it can be in place by Memorial Day.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be a lot of fun. And they're talking about, of course, keeping the cross streets open so you can still have traffic going that way and using the cross streets for some of the businesses that are still offering curbside pickup as well. So this will be a fun thing to follow.
Yeah, that is correct. The avenues would be open. They want to keep they want to keep traffic flowing as much as possible, and they want people. I think they want people to be able to the extent there's, you know, some limited parking on the avenues. They want people to be able to park as well, so they can go patronize these restaurants.
You know, Bill, let's take a moment while we're talking about this to give kudos to Lou Holloway and his staff for downtown development. I mean, they've been on this from the very beginning when it started with the Love Hendo project between downtown Hendersonville and the chamber, and that's for all of our businesses here in the county. I saw the other chambers of commerces and other cities jumping on the bandwagon weeks after our community was already doing it. And Lou and his staff have been working hard to try to figure out, how best to serve these businesses during this tough time. They're really doing a great job with ideas.
Well, that's exactly right. And the tail end of this story, we talk about one of those very just that sort of initiative that they've been proactive and aggressive about. And they've also put together with, if you just mentioned, the city of Hendersonville and the Love Hendo organization, another initiative called Safe Hendo.
Yep.
And that's based on a pledge that the shopkeepers and restaurant owners make to adhere to use personal protective equipment, clean frequently, and enforce social distancing. They've all been signing, many of them have been signing the hashtag Safe Hendo pledge to limit the number of people in the business, require staff to wear facial coverings and PPE where feasible, encourage customers to wear face masks, implement cleaning protocols recommended by the CDC, and educate employees on guidelines and safe practices. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, it's been real interesting. I've been on a number of the Zoom calls with some of our downtown businesses, and it's real interesting to talk to the ones who have been open, and they talk about the people who are coming to shop there or coming, coming to spend some money downtown, and they run the gamut of people. They run the gamut of people who are wearing masks and thanking the employees for wearing masks, all the way to the people on the far other side who aren't wearing masks, who don't think this is as big of a deal as it is. So it's been real interesting to hear what our businesses are going through. Hey, let's take a moment and mention that birthday girl Mayor Barbara Volt today. you have her here in your local news as she is honoring City Clerk Tammy Drake, who is retiring.
Yeah, we talked about Lou Holloway. Talked about another terrific city employee, longtime city employee, been with the city for, I think, 31 and a half years, and has been city clerk for almost 25 years, and that's Tammy Drake. And in a bit of surprise, I guess, because I haven't been hanging around in person as much to find out that this came out at the city council meeting on Thursday night, that Tammy is going to retire after, like I say, 31 and a half years with the city. And she's done, they read a proclamation thanking her and recognizing her impressive legacy of public service to her hometown, including supporting the work and goals of four mayors and 17 city council members during that tenure, and, quote, coaching, leading, and taming four city managers, taking all the minutes and archiving them in a searchable form. And I can attest to that personally and emphatically, that Tammy is a go-to person when you're trying to research something, particularly something from 20, 30 years ago or more. And she goes back. Her institutional memory goes back even further than the time than the 2.5 decades where she was doing the job. She knows a lot about the history going back, when we did the downtown Serpentine Solution project. Got a huge amount of help from Tammy when I've on that project. When I've researched when did the city had parking meters, this parking meter idea is not a new idea. It resurrected an old idea, and she found me a terrific amount of really good research on when the parking meters were downtown. So the Lightning personally will miss Tammy Drake, and the city will miss her and should thank her between now and June 1st.
Let's touch on a couple of growth happenings here in Hendersonville and Henderson County before we finish up our Lightning Thursday today. I'm really glad you have this story about the construction going on over on Spartanburg Highway, right there at Shepherd Street and Spartanburg Highway. I've had a number of people ask me what was going on there, and I was able to tell them it's the new fire station. And then as they've done the clearing, I thought to myself, wow, that's a lot of room for just a fire station. Well, apparently it's not just going to be a fire station. There's some other businesses coming.
Yeah, actually, Mark, that's not the fire station property. The fire station, the property the city bought for Fire Station 3, which is a project that's more or less on hold now, that actually is from this project. This project is all this 4.2 acres is all developer Jeff Justice's property. He bought it not long ago, actually, in March, I think it was, in order to do this. The first thing he's going to put there is this Mountain Express car wash. You know, the free vacuum car wash.
Yep.
Across from Walmart.
Yep.
In New Rock Road. He's going to put that there, but there's room. There'll be room for lots more. In the interview with him, he mentions something like an Aldi. He hasn't signed anything like that yet, but something like maybe a smaller supermarket, a restaurant or a fast food place. So look for that to develop. You're right. It is a big site. We've got a locator map of it here that shows that it's on Spartanburg Highway, across from the Burger King and the BP station there.
And, Bill, we lost you just as you were telling us actually where the new fire station building was going to be, not on this property, but where?
Across Old Spartanburg Highway from this property. So the rear of this property goes all the way to Old Spartanburg Highway. You jump over Old Spartanburg Highway where you see that little house is, and that house is actually, at least right now, is a cutout. It's not a part. The city bought property all around the house, and that's where the city fire station 3 would be. But the city council really started getting in the weeds about what to do about fire station 1, fire station there at Five Points, and they most likely are going to invest in a new fire station on or near that site before they do anything with a new fire station 3.
Gotcha. And touch on a little bit more about growth, and you've got it on page 10 here. Two subdivisions with 103 homes in the works.
Yeah, and again, a little bit surprisingly, these subdivisions are moved forward. They moved forward with no discernible opposition so far at a meeting we Zoom covered of the County Technical Review Committee. And one is this is actually a revised master plan for 67 single-family dwellings at the Couch Mountain subdivision, which is on off Hutch Mountain Road in northern Henderson County. It used to be known as Lunar Ridge. They plan large home sites, 3,700 linear feet of new roadway, and a gated entrance. And then also tentatively approved, reviewed, and okayed at that meeting was the Orchards at Owensby Road, a 31-lot subdivision on 36 acres near Ridge Road in eastern Henderson County. So look for those, and also a wedding venue near kind of in the Bearwalla community called Justice Case Mountain Place. That's by C. Stephen Edney. It's a huge, really nice 98 acres kind of mountaintop track there. It's already worked. He's already using it as a wedding venue, but wants to add a big a pavilion and a bridal house that people could stay overnight for wedding destinations. And finally, an RV park on 9.6 acres on Lane Road off Upward Road is in the works as well.
Fantastic. Bill, there's still so many more stories to touch on in this week's Lightning, which again is on the streets and in your mailboxes. How can people get their copy of the Lightning?
We're still outside. You can go outside safely social distance at one of the many news racks around the county, or our dealer partners like convenience stores and the Publix supermarket, or go as many people are. Even if you stay inside all the time, you can very easily go to hendersonvillelightning.com and click on subscribe and join the growing legions of Lightning readers that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.